Good morning once again. Good to see all of you here. Glad that you are here and worshiping together as family. Strike three, you're out! Cried the umpire. And Charlie Brown lowered his bat once again, kind of dragging it behind him, his head lowered, and he walks back to the dugout. The long trip, shame and embarrassment. As he slumped down on the bench, he said, "Rats, I'll never be a big league player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed about playing in the big leagues, but I know I'll never make it." Well, Lucy is sitting right next to him, and Lucy says, "You need to change your goals. You need to have some more immediate goals." "Immediate goals?" said Charlie as he looked up. And Lucy said, "Yeah, like next time you walk out to the pitcher's mound, try not to fall down." Lucy and her wisdom. Set some goals you can reach and accomplish. Our world is filled with multitudes of people who wish that they had a new, different life. They are dying to live. They think that the grass is greener over on the other side of the fence, and some of them are literally dying in the process of trying to live. Some try a new variety of say, maybe they need a new house, a new location. That would be the answer. They would be better people if they had someplace new to live. And so they go find a new place to live and find out that the problems are still there. The frustrations are still there. And maybe that new house costs them and creates more problems that they didn't have before. Well, we need a better paying job. Let's go quit this job that I've got and go find another job. And they go look for another job and find out that they maybe can't find the job they thought were going to get. And maybe maybe they do land that job. Maybe they get better pay and find out that it has more responsibilities, more challenges, different challenges, more problems. Well, I need a new appearance, so I'll go down to the store and I'll buy all these newfangled clothes, the latest fashion, and be in style, and, end up with more bills to pay. And most of the people, like Dave Rohrbaugh, doesn't even notice that you've got a new outfit on. And you get wrinkles and you got health issues that develop in spite of the new look. Well, I'm going to try some noteworthy cause. I'm going to go out and volunteer for public service. I'm going to memorize the Ten Commandments in the next 20 years. 20 days. It won't be 20 minutes. Maybe I'll join the military. Maybe I'll go do some benevolent work and work with some of the local clubs and do some good things, hand out Christmas gifts. I'll do something good. Or then there's the crowd that says, "I think I'll try some drugs. I've heard it takes away all your problems." Wow, that morality thing has been too hard on me. I'm going to let loose of my morals and just go out and enjoy anything on my heart's desire. I'm going to go travel and see the country. That's what's missing in my life. I need new friends. I need some adventure. And people try anything and everything to try to find life. But the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence of the world. It's still got problems, frustrations, challenges, and emptiness. Where do you get new life? How do you find revival for life? The attempts of a new life in, by today's standards, the world standards, only lead in a different path of troubles and problems with no lasting satisfaction. Until people deal with their basic problem, discontent and frustration will continue to reign. But God has told us what the answer is. God tells us that humanity's basic problem is sin. And until we accept God's prescription, that discontentment and unrest will continue. Strike three. We're out. God's word tells us that we must die to live. Whoa, just a minute here. What do you mean die? God describes it. He explains it. We must die His way. But how many people today are willing to die now so that they themselves may live? Most of you have accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ and His command given by the power of God. But there are others among us who possibly have not followed through with the commands of Christ, or maybe didn't understand what it was all about. As we study this portion of God's Word today, we're returning back to the book of Romans. I would encourage you to conduct a personal evaluation of your life to make sure that you are in the right track as you search for life, and that you are obeying the call of the source of life, Jesus Christ. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, and it explains, gives some detail as to how we can die to live. And it's either going to be a reminder, a refresher, or new direction for you, depending on where you're at in your life with Jesus Christ. Before we do that, join me in a word of prayer, if you would. Thank you, Father, for the day. We thank you for the blessings of these past several days of seeing family, friends, loved ones, of being by yourselves, enjoying new things, whatever it was. They all were blessings from your hand, and we thank you. And we just praise you that you care for us and have given us so many privileges and opportunities in this land. We pray for our spiritual condition, our walk with you, that we are doing those things that are pleasing to you in obedience to you. We would pray that anybody who has not followed through in obedience to your commands, that they would realize their need and take care of this as soon as possible. Father, we pray for our efforts to speak with others as we share Jesus with them, that they would understand the necessity of total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in obedience to all of His commands. Guide us and direct us in these coming moments, and embolden us, empower us with your word, guided by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage once again is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Before we get there, just a quick refresher. We've been making our way through the book of Romans. Paul has written to the church at Rome to remind them of where they stand with Jesus and to encourage them in their further walk. In chapters 1 and 2, 3, he discusses the fact that all of us are trapped in sin. Doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile, anybody in the world and everybody in the world has fallen into this trap because our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the penalty that all of us, all humanity, have fallen under is this condition called death. We are separated from unity with God because of sin and corruption. And doesn't matter how hard we try, all of us fail to keep God's perfect law. We come to God following the example of Abraham, walking in faith and obedience to God. What does the faith and obedience to God, how is that fulfilled in the time since Jesus Christ has come? Jesus Christ has given us some specific commands and directions on how to fulfill our walk with God. And now we come to this point of being justified before God by faith in God. What does that faith involve? Looking at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. A wonderful passage, and this is a passage I turn to quite often in describing part of our walk in Jesus Christ. But let's look at this in kind of an orderly fashion. To live, we are told that a person must die to what? To sin. We must die to sin. God says that all people are sinners. He's talked about this, Romans chapter 3, extensively, verse 23 specifically, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God says that every human who has ever lived, whoever will live, we all are sinners. We sin, we break the rules of God, with the exception of one person who was not just human, but also God, God-man. And that's his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only individual, only human who was able to overcome the temptation and sin. Perfect God in the person of Jesus put on human flesh to come dwell among us, to serve as the Redeemer of all humanity. No other person could do it. It took God becoming a man and living among us to pay for all sin. Only God could pay for all sin. No human being was capable of it, not even for their own sin. And Paul has already discussed that. We have it reiterated here again. What is sin? Sin is disobedience to God's will and God's way. It is actually, my understanding, what I was taught was it's a military term. Missing the bullseye. Missing the bullseye. You're shooting at a target. How many of you used a gun or a bow and arrow and tried to hit the bullseye, the target, in the very center? It doesn't matter if you miss it by a bunch, which I would probably do, or by a little bit. If you don't hit the bullseye every time, you sin. You miss the mark. And that's what every one of us have done. At some point in our life, we have failed to hit God's plan. We have failed to follow God's plan every single time in every decision, in every choice, in every reaction. It began with that one decision of the first people, Adam and Eve, and it has infected and afflicted every human since, causing death in all of us. Because they were under the curse of death, God allowed them to live and to procreate, to have family, but the curse was still on humanity because Adam and Eve sinned. And that has passed on to each and every one of us. Our path of disobedience is described in Romans chapter 1 through 3 by the Apostle Paul, who opened the letter to explain why everyone needs Jesus. Sin afflicts law-abiding citizens as well as the worst criminals. Every single one of us. Scripture is very clear. Romans chapter 1 describes humanity's general trend to realize that God exists from creation. Verses 19 and 20 of chapter 1 tells us it is reasonable to believe. If we would just analyze with a clear conscience, without any bias, looking at all of the creation, it's reasonable to believe that there's a God out there, that He loves us, that He cares about us. But people form their own version of what they think God wants them to do, and thus results all kinds of different belief systems and worshiping of the Creator instead of following His clear directions. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17, we have a pretty good description of what sin is. James 4:17 says, "To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." God works in us directly through His Scripture, through preaching, through the apostles' teaching, through our own conscience, through our own reasoning. And if we are violating those principles, especially God's Word, we sin. Whether by a general knowledge or specific knowledge, every one of us is a sinner. The point D there is living as a good person is not enough. How many people have you run into and says, "Well, I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. I didn't shoot anybody today. I didn't run over anybody with my car. I'm a good person. I think I'm going to heaven." And the Scripture tells us our goodness is not enough. Our goodness is as filthy rags. But it doesn't matter what we think of ourselves. What matters is what God tells us we are. God said that if we broke one rule, we broke and fell under the curse of death. And since we are all related to Adam, who was under the curse of death, we automatically suffer death. This explains why babies die who have not made any choices. Why do the babies die? Because they're under the curse that began with Adam and Eve that filters down through all humanity. And it not only affects people, it affects the entire creation, Scripture tells us. And we see the result of human sin. All of creation has to be wiped out and made new, which God has promised to do. Sin has become master over people. What is death defined? Death basically is a separation. The concept extends to several different levels. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve's personal walk with God in the Garden of Eden was ended. God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the evening. He came and found the guilty pair. That all stopped. Man's unity with his Father in heaven. We are looking for the restoration of that oneness with our Father. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ. Not only did it affect their physical relationship with God, it affected their well-being. They began the process of physically dying, a separation of the spirit of life from our physical body. And the scripture speaks of the body, soul, and spirit. Each one has a different, unique feature. But when we die, the spirit of life leaves us. We are still an incomplete soul, if you would, but we need that restoration that only God can give. How is that possible? That only comes through Jesus Christ. So how can sinful humans regain our relationship with our perfect Father and live? How can we overcome this sin? Point two, God says a person must die with Christ. Die with Christ. Now, how is that possible? Jesus lived on the earth 2,000 years ago. We can't go back in time, can we? Well, God has provided us a way to, symbolically, if you would, die with our Savior. All of the Old Testament prophecies pointed to the coming of a Savior who would be sinless. The Mosaic law regarding sacrifices displayed how a perfect sacrifice was needed, and that God would provide that sacrifice. Jesus Christ made the final payment for all sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and following teaches us that God's gracious gift of sending His Son and how faith in Him alone is capable of saving us. But that faith is not just a statement or an idea. Faith is more than just a concept. Faith is coupled with obedience to Christ's commands. And Jesus talks about this in John chapter 14. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." James 2 talks about this facet of faith. James says that even the demons believe in Jesus, but the demons aren't going to heaven. What is it that characterizes the unique feature of faith? It's obedience. Obedience to the commands of God. And Romans 6 reminds the Christians at Rome of how their obedient faith worked. What is it that caused, that represented that death to sin? Paul tells them, don't you remember what happened when you became a Christian? Jesus, God in human flesh, commanded his disciples to preach his full message, to go into all the world, teaching them everything about Jesus. Those who believe are to be what? Baptized. Baptize all who believed, and to then to continue teaching them all the words of Christ. That's found in the end of Matthew. It's found in the end of Mark. Now, I'll just interject here. It's not in the notes or anything. A lot of people say, what about the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross died under the Mosaic age. And when the God, the Creator, says, you'll be with me in paradise, are you going to argue with the God who saves you? He died under the Mosaic age. Jesus did not give the command to his disciples to baptize believers until 40 days later. The command of baptism is under the Christian age. The order of Christ just before he ascended into heaven. The final words of Jesus. Final words are important. And Jesus said, go tell everybody everything you know about me. If they believe, baptize them and continue to teach them. That's what we are based on. Obedience to the commands of Christ. Learning all of his words, all of Scripture, If newcomers come to Christ and become a believer, what do? Do we have them say a prayer? A lot of groups say, just say this prayer. What does the scripture say? What did Jesus say? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't pray for the Holy Spirit. You obey Christ. And He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Better get back to the notes before I get off on another tangent here. So Romans 6 reminds those Christians at Rome, remember, after you said you were a believer in Jesus, you were baptized into Christ, just as Jesus had commanded. Point C, Jesus claimed and displayed that He is life itself by raising others as well as Himself from the grave. John 11, verse 25 and 26 tells us that overcoming sin and death is only possible by obeying His commands. In John 14, 6, what did Jesus say about Himself? He said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me, Jesus. So we have to be in Jesus, through Jesus. Baptism is that door, if you would. The apostles commanded believers to be immersed. All the apostles, we read in all the accounts, it might mention their repentance, it might mention their faith, it might mention they say a prayer, but all of them were immersed into Christ, buried in the waters of baptism, and raised in that new life. All of the believers, all of the accounts in Scripture. And we are reminded of it in several different passages, in Colossians, in Galatians. We read it today out of the book of Hebrews, talking about the water. You were washed in water. It's all part of the commitment to Christ and obedience to Christ. One of the greatest tragedies within the church, I believe, is the failure to properly translate all the words from their original language. And that was not done for several reasons, human reasons. Maybe it's a test for us as well. Baptizo is one of those. Baptizo became baptism. It was not translated by the translators. It actually means to dip, to plunge, to wash, or to bury. Total covering is the concept. And unfortunately, many people practice various forms of baptism today, sprinkling and pouring. Those are totally different words in the Greek. I think, if I remember right, sprinkle is rentizo. Rentizo, a totally different concept of sprinkling. Pouring is another concept, but baptism is a full covering. Baptism represents a burial service of the believers into Christ. Burial requires how much covering? Total. We don't just sprinkle a little dirt on somebody and say they're buried. We totally cover them with earth, and that's what baptism signifies. Not just a partial covering. Galatians 3:27 describes being fully clothed, covered with Christ through baptism. Acts chapter 22:16, the Apostle Paul was encouraged and challenged to be baptized into Christ to wash away all of his sin. The idea is continue over and over. God wants how much of us? All of us. And we need to be obedient to all of his commands, including baptism, not just partially. It kind of reminds me, we were just spent time with family. We didn't have one of these episodes this time, but I remember in the past when the little guy, young, came to the end of the day, and it was time for the bath. And what happens when it's bath time?
No, no, I don't need a bath.
And that's the way a lot of people act today when they come to Christ. And Jesus says, it's time for your bath so that I can wash away your sins.
Oh, no, no, I don't want a bath. Here, I'll just put a little bit of water on me.
It doesn't work. You have to obey the master. He's head of the house. He said, be buried with me so I can raise you up in new life. My way. Not my way. His way. I didn't give these commands. These commands were issued by the King of creation. And the question is, are we going to obey the King, the Master, the Lord? Last point, section 3. Baptism is our resurrection from death. In verses 4, 5, and 9 of this passage in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is very clear to this point. He previously showed how all humanity became trapped in death through Adam's sin. And the only way to get out of death is out of sin is by death. And so God has provided through the command of Jesus that there's a way to die to sin in Christ. And it's called baptism. A faithful, believing, repentant person who loves God and wants to obey God will submit to his command to die to sin in baptism. The command of Jesus sets us free from death. He has that power if we obey. The triumph of Jesus over death is the climax of the gospel. Isn't that the good news? Jesus isn't dead in a grave. He's raised. He's alive. And we want to be alive with Jesus. We need to obey his commands, including baptism. No other person has that power of life. And the New Testament message focuses on the power of Christ to overcome death. Jesus wants to give all people victory. Victory over what? Victory over death. But that is only possible through obedience and surrender to his commands. Yes, you need to believe. You have to have faith. That's the foundation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have repentance. You have to be willing to change your ways. Yes, God takes us where we're at now, but for a purpose to change us, to make us live a righteous life. We need to be a confessing people, admitting we have sinned, confessing our sin to God, saying, I need help. I can't beat this on my own. Only Jesus can beat it, and we need to trust in him. And we are buried with him in baptism to be what? Raised a brand new creature. Is it because of what I did? No. It's because of what Jesus does. Never forget. It's an obedience to him because that's the way he designed it. He didn't give us any other plans, just this one plan. And then we need to walk in obedience to him. Amen? Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly, not maybe or possibly, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. Jesus assures the obedient believer of life everlasting, life forever. Christians have no need to fear physically. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Amen? We sang it. Why is it? Because we died with Jesus and was raised in his life to be new creatures. The immersed believer of Christ begins a new life by the power and the plan of God. It's not a human plan. It's God's plan. Baptism is the death to the disobedience against God. And we have decided, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to die to my past. I'm going to begin walking with Jesus. He gives us his Holy Spirit who indwells us and empowers us and strengthens us and reminds us, don't do that anymore. Remember, that's sin. And you're to live in righteousness. And the Spirit is constantly working in us when we allow him. Scripture also talks about we can push the Spirit off and disrespect him to the point where he won't help us anymore. That's a dangerous position. I'm not going to talk about that today. The Holy Spirit has entered our life to say no to sin and yes to God. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Christians are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the children of God and to walk with his Spirit. If you want to live, you have to die with Christ and be raised in Christ. A story is told of a Japanese textbook that had a riddle about a certain shellfish that gave up its life to serve the people of Japan by giving them beautiful spoons and other items. And one day, one of the children objected to the story. He said, that shellfish didn't surrender his life. Somebody took it. Well, yeah. And all the shellfish, they all got taken. It wasn't their will to die. Yeah, that's true, but we like to twist the story a little bit. It's not like what Jesus did, is it? No, it's not like Jesus. Jesus gave his life to make us new creatures, to make us servants of God. Are you dying to live? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you obedient to Christ? Have you been washed in Christ? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? If you want life, what are you waiting for? Do it Jesus' way. Do it the way of the apostles. If you have neighbors, encourage them. Obey Jesus. Don't listen to the speech of people. Listen to the King. He gave us the directions. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, that Jesus willfully came into this world for one purpose, to redeem all of us through his death, burial, and resurrection. He's opened the door. He's given us directions. You have repeated your directions over and over for us in the New Testament. talking about the joy and the blessings that come in obedience to Jesus when we surrender and die to sin your way and are raised to new life. Thank you for your Spirit that you've given to us. Thank you for the Scriptures that you've written. Help us to continue in study and obedience to live for you with your help, your power, your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.